Well, we're coming to the end of the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11, and tonight we're going to actually finish the chapter, and then next time we'll look at Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 and kind of wrap up the series then. Last time I mentioned that this chapter is really one of the summits of Scripture. It stands high above all the filth and failures of people living in a broken world, and it emphasizes their faith. The section we're going to look at tonight is kind of a summit to this summit. It's the very top peak of this whole chapter. We're going to see the pinnacle of faith in this section. He's been talking about key figures in Israel's history. So Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Joseph and all of these. And he's kind of taken us on this ride through history. He began with Abel, the third human being, and then just kind of gone through through the stories. But he's not necessarily retelling their stories. He's emphasizing their faith in God, belief that these men and women had that God is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Last time we came to the section in this chapter that kind of begins to take us up to the peak. He's mentioning some difficult experiences that men and women went through that required great faith, and we looked at this last time we'll pick up with verse 33. It says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and women received their dead raised to life again." And we looked at these last time. So men like Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, who had courageous faith in the midst of severe circumstances, when the odds were completely against them. But they believed that God was able to do the impossible, and they watched God work. Tonight, the shift changes in the experiences of these men and women. They still went through severe circumstances, but these people that we're going to look at tonight weren't delivered from those circumstances. We'll pick up in verse 35. It says, "And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tested, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report, through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." So these men and women weren't delivered. They never received the promise, but they overcame by faith. Faith isn't just courageous, as we saw last time. Faith overcomes, even when called upon to suffer. And those are really two key elements of faith that we've seen throughout this chapter. Faith is courageous, and faith overcomes. All of these men and women in this chapter were called upon to have courageous faith. And all of them had overcoming faith, whether they obtained the promises, like we saw last time, they obtained promises, or whether they didn't receive the promise, like the people we're going to be talking about tonight. 1 John 5:4 says, "This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." And so I call this section that we just read the summit of the summit, that highest peak, because everything he's been teaching about faith has really been leading up to this section. Faith obeys, faith rests, faith hopes, and all of these things that we've looked at. And we could have said, and faith suffers, and sometimes it does. But more importantly, faith overcomes, even in suffering. We're going to see that tonight. These people's faith overcame the world. They never gave in. They never, they kept on believing. And that's really the pinnacle of faith. Faith overcomes because it never gives in. He's just been talking about people who saw significant victory. They subdued kingdoms and worked righteousness. They stopped the mouths of lions and quenched the violence of fire. But in verse 35, he says, others were tortured. Others went through horrible suffering. They were mocked. They lived less than comfortable lives. They died not having watched God work. They died without receiving the promise. But he says, these people, in verse 38, the world was not worthy of these people. They're really the greatest men and women of faith mentioned in this chapter, because their faith demonstrated, really more than anybody else's, that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. Many throughout the ages have really been called upon to suffer for their faith, and today people are suffering for their faith. But that's really the pinnacle of faith, when a person can keep on believing and never give in, even in the worst circumstances imaginable. And in these verses, he talks about people who went through severe circumstances. Look at verse 35 again. It says, "Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection." And that word tortured comes from the same root word as the English for timpani, or a kettle drum. And it has the idea of being stretched out on an instrument and then being beaten to death. And that kind of puts in perspective what these people went through. But he says, when they were tortured, they wouldn't accept deliverance. They didn't accept deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. They were looking for a better deliverance, an eternal one. So they weren't willing to give in because they believed in the thing not seen. They believed in a better resurrection. Amy Carmichael once said, "What does it matter if today be difficult? We have tomorrow." And these people lived in the spirit of that. They were looking for tomorrow, which came for them because they believed, even though they didn't see it. I was reading something this week where the writer was talking about people who the people who suffered in death camps. And this writer pointed out that these people never hurt anyone. They never stole anything. They never embezzled anything. They never committed a crime. And this writer said all they have done was believe. And I thought about our passage tonight and about these people who were persecuted for their faith, and many today who are suffering for their faith. It's the same with them. All they've done was believe. And in some people's eyes, that's all that they did wrong. But for the truth is, that's what they did right, because they were looking for a better resurrection, and they were believing God for something better. And so they didn't accept the offer of deliverance, even in situations like torture and things like that, because they were looking for that better thing. If it meant giving in to their tortures and giving, you know, turning away from the faith, they weren't going to do that. They had that forward look to something that they'd never even seen before, which is really what we've seen throughout the chapter. If you remember the patriarchs in verse 13, it says, "They all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." And then if you skip to verse 16, it says, "But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." So as these were being tortured, they were desiring that better country, a heavenly one. I heard a story once about two martyrs from the past. And as one of them was being led away to his death, the other one told him, "Just close your eyes, and the next time they're opened, you'll be in a different world." I mean, that's how strongly they believed in the things not seen, in that better resurrection. And so they didn't accept deliverance. They never gave in. And that's really the pinnacle of faith. Verse 36 continues to describe what they endured. It says, "And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment." So they didn't just go through physical torture. They went through emotional and mental torture. They were mocked. It says that they were scourged, which was how Hebrews punished criminals. It says that they were put in chains. So they were made to live debilitating lives. And it says they suffered imprisonment. So guards were assigned to these men and women of faith. So in other words, they were treated like criminals for no reason except they believed and they wouldn't give in. But it didn't stop with being treated like criminals. Many died like criminals. Verse 37 says they were stoned. You know, stoning was the most common form of capital punishment among the Hebrews. It says that they were sawn in two. Tradition says that's how Isaiah died. So many died as criminals. But before he mentions another form of death in this verse, he pauses, kind of like he's giving us a little breather, and he says, they were tested. He's showing the strength of faith that these endured, even to death. But he stops and he says, they were tested. You know, I read this section in Hebrews 11, and maybe you do too, and I think, I don't know if I could go through all of this like they did. You know, they had to have been a special breed of believers. But it says that they were tested. So every one of them would have said they knew they could fall, and Satan knew they could fall. So part of the suffering of faith was that they were tested. Their faith was proven, which means they could have fallen. So right in the middle of this list of ways they died, he's subtly reminding us that even when they were dying, they were overcoming. They overcame, because even in death, they were tested, but they didn't fall. Death was really a way that that their faith was proven. Death showed that their faith overcame. So they weren't a special breed of believers. They could have fallen, just like we could, but they were given overcoming faith when they needed it most. Well, he picks up again and he says, and they were slain with the sword. You know, last time we looked at men who escaped the edge of the sword. So some were slain with the sword and some escaped the edge of the sword through the same kind of faith. So it really, it came down to whether they were called upon to conquer or to endure. But whether they were called to conquer the sword and escape or endure the sword and die, both were overcomers, because both had that faith that didn't give in. Both had courageous faith that overcame. And it took just as much faith to be slain with the edge of the sword as it did to escape the edge of the sword. Maybe more, because those who were slain could have accepted deliverance, but they didn't, because they were looking for that better resurrection. You know, so these all died really cruel deaths, but the fact that they died really proved that their faith didn't give in. Their faith overcame. And it makes me think of what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said to King Nebuchadnezzar before they were thrown into the fiery furnace. You know, they never bowed down to the image of Nebuchadnezzar, and they never gave in. But before they were thrown into the furnace, and this is in Daniel 3, you don't have to turn there, they said, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king." And you know the story, God did deliver them. So they were lumped with the people we talked about last time, who quenched the violence of fire. They escaped death through faith. So they were a witness, really, to King Nebuchadnezzar, that God was able to deliver them. But they also knew that they could have been lumped with the people that we're talking about tonight, these others who didn't weren't delivered. God could have chosen not to deliver them from the fiery furnace and for them to endure by faith. And so they also told King Nebuchadnezzar, "But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up." So they made it clear before they found out which way it was going to go for them that there was no way they were going to give in. They were not going to bow down to those gods. And really, to human reasoning, the most likely thing that was going to happen was that they were going to be consumed by the flames. But if they had been consumed, they would have still been mentioned in the Hall of Faith. Instead, they would have just been listed with people we're talking about tonight who didn't give in. Their faith overcame. They believed that God was able to deliver them. But if he didn't, their faith wasn't going to waver. So really, this is the pinnacle of faith. You know, some escaped the edge of the sword, and some were slain by the sword. But either way, their faith didn't give up. Their faith never gave in. It overcame the world. Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And he goes on to describe the tribulation that they did have in this world. Verse 37, the middle of the verse, he says, "They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented." When it says they wandered about, it's the same language that's used in Acts when he describes people who were navigating their ship with difficulty because the winds were against them. So he's really saying that they navigated their lives in circumstances that were always against them. They wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, which is just figurative language to describe extreme poverty. They were destitute, so they were lacking in material goods. It says that they were afflicted, so outside circumstances were pressing in on them, and they were tormented. They were mistreated by those around them. So much of their suffering came as a result of living in a world where they didn't fit. It was a world that didn't want them to fit, that did all they can, all it could to try to get them to turn away from the faith and fit into their way of doing things. But it was a world, as he goes on to say, that wasn't worthy of them. It says in verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. And Matthew Henry says, the world didn't know how to value them. So it says they wandered in deserts and in mountains and dens and caves of the earth. So the world wasn't worthy to have these men and women in their midst. But it also wasn't fitting for them either to find their rest in this world. That's how valuable they were to God. And they knew, as Romans 8:18 says, that their suffering was not even to be compared to the glory that was going to be revealed in them. They were looking for a city, as verse 10 says, that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So they didn't accept deliverance that they might obtain that better resurrection. So they endured mocking and scourging and torturous deaths and afflictions, the world devaluing them because they were looking for what was to come. And in verse 39 it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Remember, it was said of Abraham and the others in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but they were completely persuaded of them, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they didn't belong here. These all gained approval. They gained a good report through faith. They were approved by God, and really they had a testimony in the world. And though the world didn't understand their value and it wasn't worthy of them, many times the world noticed. The Greek philosopher Seneca, who lived during this time, and I read somewhere that he was actually an advisor to Nero, said this once, when you go out into groves and woods and see the tallness of the trees and their shadows, it strikes a kind of awful fear of deity in you. And when you see the vast rivers and fountains and deep waters, that strikes a kind of fear of God in you. But he said, do you see a man who is quiet in tempests and who lives happily in the midst of adversities? Why do you not worship that man? Now, that was an unbelieving Greek philosopher who lived in the days of early Christian persecution who said that. You know, they had a testimony of faith, a good report that could hardly not be noticed. By the world. So to be able to go through what many of these went through required a faith like we've been talking about throughout the chapter, a faith that hopes and waits and sees with different eyes and takes courage. And they all gained approval, sometimes by those in the world, but more importantly, they gained approval ultimately, because their faith never gave in. It overcame. So he's taken us kind of to the summit of this highest peak, that place where true faith is really tried and shown, where it matters most, where there's really no visible reward for it. Instead, there was only suffering. This is the pinnacle of faith. It overcomes. As John said, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And it overcame, even though they didn't receive the promise, because they knew God had provided something better. And it says that in verse 40. It says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, everybody in this chapter, all the named people, all the unnamed people, they knew one thing. God had provided something better, better than the land, better than the promises, better than deliverance from suffering. They knew God had provided something better. You know, we've been talking a lot about the definition of faith and the nature of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith has many aspects to it. It hopes, it obeys, all of these things we've been talking about. Faith is being fully convinced about who God is and what he has said and living our lives based on that conviction. He's also emphasized the importance of faith. He's writing to a people who were steeped in the law, and he wants them to see that the just shall live by faith, and they've always lived by faith. And so he said in chapter 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So he wants them to go on in the faith, to not give in. And so that's why we have Hebrews 11, this hall of faith. But throughout the book of Hebrews, he's also been pointing them to Christ. These are Jewish believers who were the first believers in the age of Christianity. Christ, the Messiah, had just come and accomplished what these Old Testament saints were only looking forward to. And throughout the book of Hebrews, he wrote to them about the better things that we have in Christ, a better hope. We live under a better covenant established, he says, on better promises. He talks about a better sacrifice. In Hebrews 11, he's talked about a better country and a better resurrection. So we don't know what the Old Testament saints fully know, but we're told here they knew God was going to provide something better, and which is what he did through Christ. What's revealed about Christ in the Old Testament is obviously not as clear as what we have in the New Testament. In fact, Peter says that the prophets who were writing about Christ searched diligently to understand what they were writing. So what we know about Christ and his sufferings and what he accomplished was a mystery, something hidden for a time, but revealed to us. But it was hidden when these people were believing and standing firm in the faith. They didn't know everything we know about why Christ had to suffer and when he was going to come and what he was going to accomplish. But they knew enough to know that they should be looking for something better. They knew enough to know that a Redeemer was coming. So all of these people we've been talking about had that forward look. They were looking for something that they were sure about. And some understood, I think, more than others. But they believed what they had, and they believed what they knew. And they knew that God had provided something better. But he says in verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. You know, their faith, though it was commendable in the Old Testament, it wasn't complete without us, not until our time. You know, faith isn't complete or made perfect apart from Christ. The Bible says that Christ was slain before the foundation of the world. So no matter what time period a person of faith lived in God's mind, the cross had been accomplished. But a person's faith wasn't made perfect, wasn't complete, says here, until the cross actually happened. Without us, it says, they should not be made perfect. And we haven't seen Christ clearly in this chapter. We haven't seen him very much really in their faith or in their stories. But he was there because all of these people were looking forward to a better thing that in God's mind had already been accomplished before the foundation of the world, and that was actually accomplished just a few years before this chapter was written. It was that better thing that completes the faith of every single person who ever believes. Faith must be in Christ or it's not a complete faith. It wasn't that these people just had faith. You know, some people say you just got to believe. You know, but they were believing in someone. They were believing in a God who would fulfill his promise. They were believing in a God who could accomplish great things through them, and they watched him do that. They believed that God was going to provide something better, which he did, through the work and the person of Christ. So a person can believe as hard as they want. They can even believe God. But if their faith is never in Christ, it's not complete. And we know that had to be true of the Old Testament saints, too. Even though they only searched diligently to know what we know about Christ, these people suffered. They not obtaining the promises, they desired a better resurrection by faith because they knew God had provided something better. They were looking for a Redeemer. And I think this is just another reminder to us that salvation isn't dependent on us. Salvation is of the Lord. They believed all of God's word that they had, and that's what mattered. In the next verses that we're going to look at next time, he calls Christ the author and the finisher of our faith. Well, that's true of the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints. You know, these in the hall of faith only knew that God had provided something better, but because they believed that, though they didn't fully understand every detail that would involve, they were commended and they were given victory and they overcame the world by their faith. But Christ was the one who authored that faith. And now they've been made perfect because Christ also finished their faith. John Calvin once wrote, "If those on whom the great light of grace had not yet shone, so showed such patience in bearing their ills, what effect ought the full light of the gospel have on us? And if a tiny spark of light led them to heaven, how much more the sun of righteousness that shines on us? What excuse shall we offer if we still hold to the earth?" You know, we live in privileged times. To know what we know about Christ, we've been given a better hope. We live under a better covenant, established on better promises. We're also looking for a better country. We're looking to obtain a better resurrection. So we should beware, as John Calvin wrote, of clinging tightly to this earth, because we don't belong here either. That's how valuable we are to God as well. So we may be called upon to go through difficult things, and we may not. But as Amy Carmichael said, what does it matter? We have a tomorrow. I sometimes wonder if I'd be strong enough, if I'd have that overcoming faith, that if I was faced with things like they are. But the author of their faith is also the author of ours. So, you know, everybody listed in Hebrews 11 lived their lives just knowing that God had provided something better. And that's the only way any of us can have overcoming faith that never gives in, because faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Overcoming faith is always looking forward to something better. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for these stories, and I thank you so much that you have sent your Son, and that you have saved us, and you have given us these stories that we can read about and learn and be encouraged in our own faith. And I pray, Lord, that we will always look to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And I pray that you will give us the overcoming faith that we need every day, no matter what we face. In Jesus' name, amen.